Okay, so we will start with the second presentation in this session, which will be given by Jesco Zimmermann from Ashdown Research Center.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to scale back a bit. This is a lot smaller problem and a lot smaller tool. To start a bit, to give a bit of background how they came to be, I'm going to just briefly talk about what I'm doing. I'm working for the Irish Agricultural Research Authority, CHAGESC, and I'm what's called a data technologist. I help research support staff. I help the researchers with analyzing, acquiring, and managing data. And of course, one important part in agricultural research becoming more and more prevalent is the use of remote sensing data. So remote sensing data is, sort of like this. Okay, what's happening there? There should be images on there. Put loads of nice images on there. Not sure why they're not popping up. Then I have to unfortunately talk over that. Sorry for that. There were supposed to be nice images on there, just showcasing the importance of remote sensing in agriculture. So remote sensing is important for land use and land use change detection, especially in an environment like Ireland, where the average agricultural field is incredibly slow, and products like Corine fail miserably in presenting the diversity of the landscape. Also, it is important for measuring productivity. Again, in Ireland, which is a very grassland-based agricultural economy, with a high diversity of grassland and grassland management being crucial in terms of fertilization, rotation, remote sensing can help farmers massively in managing the livestock and knowing where to fertilize a paddock, where to move the cows on the next day, where the grass has grown too fast and may need to be topped. But it's also important in assessing impacts of extreme events. For example, last year was an extreme weather event, I think all over Europe, and Ireland suffered especially due to the drought causing the grass growth to fail and farmers having to import massive amounts of feed because they couldn't rely on the local grass growth anymore. It is also being more and more used for disease detections. For example, crop diseases can now be detected from remote sensing imagery, helping farmers to respond very quickly and very targeted to crop to diseases. Now, a problem with that, with remote sensing, especially in a country like Ireland, is not popping up. There we go. Next one, there we go, is cloud detection. So this is an amazing image of Ireland for multiple reasons. For one specific reason is that there's no cloud on it. This doesn't happen, usually. Getting an image like that of Ireland, even in 2018, that was incredibly hot and incredibly dry, is the exception. Most images will look like this. So this poses a problem in remote sensing. Everyone working remote sensing knows how important multi-temporal imagery is. Land use change detection, you need multi-temporal imagery, but also land use detection. As I said, in Ireland especially, is very grassland focused, but it's very different from what you may expect from other countries. Grassland in Ireland is diverse and goes from barely managed, where you just throw out a few cows in February, March, leave them there until November, and that's it, to incredibly heavy managed, where you have your field cut down into many paddocks, and every day the cows are moved to a different field to make sure that they get the maximum grass out of the land. So to make any sort of land use assessment on these fields, you need, or on the intensity of the grassland, you need a high temporal resolution to detect events like cutting, like changes in the paddocks. So also in the terms of extreme event detection, the impact might be very short-lived. So if you happen to only have one image in a month or so, you might not catch whatever an extreme event may have caused in terms of impact. So there are a couple of ways to get around working with clouds, especially if you're like myself in a research environment with no access to any cloud solutions, and you have to process things locally on, say, a local archive, or download the imagery straight from Copernicus as you need it. So the first one is you just set a threshold for your cloud cover and only download imagery that meets this threshold. Advantages: you save a lot of space and you save time on your you save space on your computer. You save time. You acquire lots of images, but it's also useful when you say you need full coverage of an area where you can say, okay, I really want only 20% cloud cover. The problem is that if you're only interested in specific locations, small locations spread in a large area, an image with, say, 80% cloud cover might still be useful because it just happened to be that your area of interest doesn't have a cloud. So it also has the disadvantage that you may still, even though you download your archive, you may still have to go through it and check manually with the cloud mask provided if the image is really useful for your own small little area. So these are just the distribution of different cloud covers in a Sentinel-2 tile acquisition. This is a tile over the east of Ireland. Most of the images, as you see here, as I said, most of the images are 90 to 100% cloud cover and completely useless. But if you, say, pick a threshold of 50%, you may lose half of the remaining images that may still be useful. Same for 2017, and I just like to show it because it was such an exceptional year. 2018, you do end up with a lot of images that are cloud-free. However, as I said, it still wasn't great because a lot of haze was on them. So they, from a spectral point of view, they may still not be useful. The other way to deal with that is just to manually go through the cloud mask, overlay them with your points of interests, and extract the data manually. That is, of course, very accurate, but it also takes a lot of time and work, which you might not have. So to turn a problem into a solution, I try to develop a little tool that automatically checks the cloud mask in an image archive, and extracts, at the moment, just a file that tells you which of these images are useful for a set of points. The tool is completely written in open source Python packages, so it uses Rasterio for cloud mask processing, it uses GeoPandas, Shapely, and Fiona for vector processing and file reading. So far, I have included two satellite platforms. One I had, but I've recently changed the tool over and need to reassess how I put in the cloud mask. So it works for Sentinel-2 imagery, both 1C and 2A products, and both in the Copernicus format and the Theia, the format Muscade. And it also works, again, this tool is kind of built from necessity from our own archives, and we have access to the Venus satellite, which was launched by CNES and the Israeli Space Agency, so it works for that as well. And what it does, you give it a set of points or polygons, it will scan through your whole image archive and then return the list of images for each point that are cloud-free according to the product cloud mask. This is just the overview, so you provide your satellite images as an archive or as single images, your areas of interest, You select your platform. It will look if it's compressed. If it's compressed, it will unpack the image. It will overlay your feature class or shapefile or whatever as a GeoPandas data frame with your satellite image. It will make sure that they're in the same projection. And then it will write, at the moment, it's under development, at the moment it will just return a CSV file where you have your feature ID. And for each of the feature IDs, you get the name of the image that is cloud-free at that stage. So it's currently a command line tool. This is just a help file. So you just run it like any command line tool in Python. And it works fast unless you want to unpack imagery, or you say your imagery is zipped, then it can take a while because it has to unpack each of the images. So I'm just going to present a little case study. So we have one research project that looks at assessing Lucas imageries, or Lucas points. Lucas is a land use and land cover survey done by the EU that covers all of Europe in a fairly high resolution grid, where they sent out surveyors that went to the field, recorded them according to the EU land use and land cover framework, took in pictures, and the problem is, as I said, grassland in Ireland is very diverse, but they just recorded everything as grassland that was grassland. So we wanted to break it down to a more high resolution, more suitable for Irish farmers or Irish research, grassland research. So one part of it was visual assessment of remote sensing imagery, and because there are so many Lucas points all over Ireland, there was no way in manually assessing each of them for cloud-free, if they're cloud-free at the points. So I ran the tool over that. I'm just taking one county here, County Meath. Do we have a map? Yes, so County Meath is in the east of Ireland. That's the county, you've got all points. I selected that specifically because County Meath is luckily covered by a single Sentinel-2 tile, making it easier as a case study. I'm using the Lucas points to identify the locations that I'm interested in, and I'm also using the land parcel identification system, which is a European Union administrative tool where farmers can report their land or do report their land use in order to receive subsidies. And I just use that to delineate the actual field. So the Lucas data has just given us points, but I wanted to show here as well that you can use it on polygons as well. So in this case, the tool will exclude, once you have a bit of cloud in a polygon, it will exclude it because, say, you take your mean for the polygon, it screws up your reflectance data and might screw your machine learning algorithm. You want the whole polygon cloud-free. So these are the points, just some images, some examples of how Sentinel-2 images might look, and you immediately see the problem. This is, I'd say 50%, over 50%, well, I'd say around 50% cloud cover. A lot of the points would be useless, but you actually do find areas where you get a useful satellite image out of there. So say you would have run your exclusion by threshold value, you would have lost some useful data there. That's a great image. Again, that doesn't happen very often in Ireland. And a few other ones. Again, this image might still need a lot of manual checking to see if it works. So just for the tile, I ran... I looked at the number of images if you just do an exclusion. So you say up to 90% cloud cover, you end up with 99 image, up to 60% cloud cover, 59 images, 40% cloud cover, 41 images. Now, this is the result. You run the tool, you get a list, so each point, so you can link that straight again to your shapefile, and the image that is cloud-free for that point. And what you get is a nice overview. So this shows for 2016. This area obviously has relatively high cloud cover, while here you get relatively low cloud cover. It's still not great. They're about max in 2016, maximum of 29 cloud-free images. 2017, very similar. There's an upland area, that's why they are very cloudy. And 2018, you get a lot more, up to 59 cloud-free images. So I think it's quite a useful tool. There are some caveats, of course. Just to say, this only used Cloud Mask. It used the product-specific Cloud Mask. I haven't developed a new Cloud Mask here. So the output of the product is only as good as the Cloud Mask that goes in. And if the Cloud Mask is not great, if it's either over-identifying or under-identifying, you might lose information or have to still will still find images that will actually be cloudy, even though it was identified as non-cloudy. Especially the Sentinel-2 Copernicus products are tend to be under-identifying clouds. It's also working, as I said, it's working on compressed archives is slow. That's just because decompressing is slow. And it's also work in progress. It's kind of out of necessity. And the way it works is that when we need, say, new images, acquire a new archive, I'll add to it. But it is available on GitHub. So if you are interested, you can download it. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Questions?
So I'm curious about the insights of the Cloud Cover tool. I suppose you do pixel classification, or
yes. So depends. Actually, depends. It depends on the product. Yeah. So if I use I overlay it with the Cloud Mask. So when I use Sentinel-1 ESA imagery, the Cloud Mask is provided as a GML file. So I produce a Cloud Mask from that and then do pixel overlay. If they're, for example, Muscat products, the Cloud Mask comes as a, I think it's a bit encoded file. It's a raster, so that's a bit easier. At the moment, I use the highest threshold in the code. So say if it's a bit encoded file, if the bit is more than zero, then I say it's cloud and excluded. But that can actually, because it's the source code can be accessed, so you can change around how sensitive you want the Cloud Mask to be, or how sensitive you want the Cloud Mask to be interpreted. So if you want to say, if you want to still include Cirrus or Cloud Shadow, you can do that.
Okay. So the pictures come with a Cloud Mask?
Yes, so they are there specifically for products that have Cloud Masks in them. So Sentinel-1, 2, now 1 doesn't have Cloud Masks, it doesn't have clouds. Sentinel-2, Landsat 8 products, Venus products, they all come with a Cloud Mask provided.
Thank you.
Other questions?
More of an observation than a question. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago I worked on a huge archive of imagery that in which we had to look for cloud-free images for a certain area. Mm-hmm. What we did was to extract a multi-polygon of the cloud-free areas, so vectorize it, simplify it quite a bit because otherwise it would have been huge, and then stick it into PostGIS, and then we were using that as a primary filter, and that was extracting, that was giving us a small subset of the images that we would then check against their Cloud Mask precisely, and it was a lot faster.
Okay, I find that apart from the unzipping, the packages actually are very fast at reading. What I want to do in the future is actually for those area have pixel extraction straight away so that you get, for example, average reflectance value in a polygon. So I'll keep that in mind, actually. It's an interesting solution. Thank you.
Okay, so I have one question. So clouds is a major problem, but also cloud shadows is also a problem. Yeah. Are you familiar with any good method to remove cloud shadows?
No. Is the thing is, at the moment when I do level 2 processing, I use the Maya algorithm, which does provide a cloud shadow mask as well, and then I am using the filter to to exclude those as well straight away. You can, with, as I said, when you access the source code, you can tweak the bit detection to either include or exclude the cloud shadow or Cirrus and so on. But no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So thank you, and we'll take a break, and you can switch rooms. Thank you.